Good afternoon. I call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect it is 1:31 p.m. on Monday, May 2nd, 2022. Present today are Representative LaVon, Vice Chair Ortiz, Co-Chair Foster, myself, Co-Chair Merrick. And this afternoon, we will hear introductions of as many board and commission extension bills as we have time for. On the agenda today are Senate Bill 186, Optometry Examiners, Senate Bill 193, Chiropractic Examiners, and Senate Bill 151, Alcoholic Beverage Control. So beginning with Senate Bill 186, Extending the Board of Examiners in Optometry by Senator Stevens. Is there anyone from Senator Stevens' office here? I see no one, so we will move to Senate Bill 193, Extending the Board of Chiropractic Examiners by Senator Machicki. Welcome. Are you Ms. Govan?
Yes.
Thank you for being here. If you could place yourself on the record and begin your introduction. Thank you for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. For the record, my name is Madison Govan, staff to Senate President Machicki. The Senate Finance Committee substitute that you have before you for SB 193 extends the sunset date for the Chiropractic Board of Examiners for 5 years, making the new sunset date June 30th, 2027. The audit concluded that the board has been effectively serving the state by conducting meetings in accordance with state laws, amending certain regulations to improve their profession, and effectively licensing and regulating chiropractic physicians. The CS also requires that a report from the Legislative Audit Division be submitted to the LB&A Committee on the board's compliance with this year's audit. I appreciate your consideration of this bill to extend the sunset date of the Chiropractic Examiners Board. I can also walk members through the explanation of changes if you would like. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Are there questions?
No.
Seeing none, we have Legislative Auditor Chris Curtis with us today. Thank you, Ms. Curtis. If you could come forward and go over the audit.
Good afternoon. For the record, I'm Chris Curtis, Legislative Auditor. So in your meeting packets, you should have a copy of the sunset audit of the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. It's dated June of 2021. So overall, we found this board was serving the public's interest by conducting their meetings in accordance with state laws, by amending certain regulations to improve the chiropractic profession, and by effectively licensing and regulating chiropractic physicians. Additionally, the audit found that there was one board member who did not meet the statutory requirements for appointment, and their additional resources are needed in order to investigate cases in a timely manner. So we're recommending a 5-year extension for this board. And that's 3 years less than the 8-year maximum allowed for in statute. My reduced extension recommendation reflects an issue we identified during the audit that may impact the board's ability to protect the public. The details of this issue were not included in the public audit report to preserve the confidentiality of an ongoing investigation. So if you turn to page 5 of the audit, you'll find the standard licensing information. As of January 2021, there were 306 licensed chiropractors. You'll see the board's schedule of revenues and expenditures on the next page, page 6. So this board alternated between a deficit and a surplus. According to the Division of Corporations and Business and Professional Licensing, DCBPL Management, the deficits were within a reasonable range and a fee increase was not recommended. Board fees are shown on page 7. We make two recommendations. They begin on page 9. First, we recommend the governor make board appointments in accordance with statutory requirements. We found that the public member was a licensed EMT, and statutes require the public member to not have a financial interest in the healthcare industry. Rec 2, on page 10, we recommend DCBPL's director allocate sufficient resources to ensure cases are investigated in a timely manner. So for this board, there were 11 cases that have been open for over 180 days. We reviewed all 11 cases. We found 7 of them related to the same chiropractor. And that those 7 cases had been combined into one case. And for that one case, we found 4 periods of unjustified inactivity. And those periods ranged from 55 days to 208 days. According to DCBPL investigative staff, the periods of inactivity were the result of competing priorities and insufficient resources. Management's response to the audit begins on page 21. Commissioner of DCCD states that the department has hired 2 new investigative positions, which she believes will improve the quality and timeliness of investigations. The governor's response is on page 23. The governor agrees with the recommendation number one and stated that the board member that did not comply with statutory requirements has been removed. And then the chair's response is on page 25. The board chair did not agree with our recommended extension of 5 years. He believes the board is being unfairly penalized for actions on behalf of the governor's office and DCBPL, and he requested that the board be granted an 8-year extension.
Great. Are there questions regarding the audit? Seeing none, thank you, Ms. Curtis. We have Glenn Hoskinson, the Deputy Director of the Division of Corporations Business and Professional Licensing online. She is here to review fiscal note number 3, control code JRHTK. Ms. Hoskinson?
Yes, thank you, Chair Merrick. Members of the committee, my name is Glenn Hoskinson, Deputy Director of the Division of Corporations Business and Professional Licensing. What our fiscal note shows is what it costs to operate the board. So this is not the cost for the program, not for licensing chiropractors, but actually for the board, which is why you'll see that we have 20.3 annually for 5 board members and 1 staff member to attend 4 board meetings, excuse me, per year. And then we have costs and services for advertising of the public notice of board meetings, training and conference fees, and stipends for board members attending board meetings in their community of residence.
Great, thank you. Are there questions regarding fiscal note number 3? Seeing none, thanks, Ms. Hoskinson. We appreciate you coming today. Is there anything else regarding Senate Bill 193? Seeing none, thank you very much. We will set Senate Bill 193 aside and take a brief at ease. House Finance on the record at 1:38 p.m. And at 1:35 p.m. we were joined by Representatives Wool and Josephson. Next up is Senate Bill 151, extending the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, also by Senator Michicki. And we have Ms. Govan with us again. If you could place yourself on the record and begin the introduction of Senate Bill 151. And at 1:39 p.m. we were joined by Representative Thompson.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Merrick, Co-Chair Foster, and other Finance Committee members. Again, for the record, my name is Madison Govan, Staff to Senate President Michicki. The committee substitute that you have before you for SB 151 extends the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board for an additional 5 years, making the new sunset date June 30th, 2027. Legislative audit reviewed the activities of the ABC board and determined the board is effectively serving the public interest by controlling the manufacturer, barter, possession, and sale of alcoholic beverages in the state. Findings also included that board meetings were conducted effectively, regulations were adopted to implement statutory changes, and investigations were conducted in a timely manner. Thank you for your consideration of this bill to extend the sunset date of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. I will stand by for any questions members may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions? Seeing none, Ms. Curtis, if you could come up and review the audit.
Good afternoon again, Chris Curtis, Legislative Auditor. So in your packets, you should have a sunset audit of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. It's also referred to as the ABC Board. So this audit is a bit unique because in addition to conducting a sunset audit, we also conducted a special audit of the ABC Board's license process at the request of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. So this report includes the results of both the sunset audit and the special audit. Report conclusions begin on page 9. So overall, we found the board served the public's interest by conducting its meetings effectively, adopting regulations to implement statutory changes, and by investigating cases in a timely manner. The audit also concluded that the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office, also referred to as AMCO, that their operations were being impeded by significant vacancies, and improvements were needed over the board's license process. We recommended a 4-year extension that is half of the 8-year maximum allowed for in statute. We believe a reduced extension is necessary to closely monitor the board's progress in addressing its licensing inefficiencies. So if you turn to page 14 of the audit, you will see a schedule, a summary of licenses by license type. In total, there were 1,867 active licenses as of February 2021. So during our review of the licenses, we found that there was a backlog of applications due December 2020. That led the board to issue approximately 300 temporary licenses, and that allowed the applicants to continue to operate while their application was pending. We were told that that backlog was due to vacancies. So this led us to do a deeper dive into AMPCO's staffing during the audit period, and our results are summarized on page 15. So Exhibit 3 on page 15 summarizes staff vacancies or staff positions that were vacant for at least 2 months during the audit period. And in total, there were 92 months that 7 staff positions were vacant from FY18 through February of 2021. Now, management provided explanations of why the positions were vacant. They were not filled due to an uncertainty surrounding an earlier proposal to merge AMPCO with the Division of Corporations Business and Professional Licensing, DCBPL. They did not hire due to uncertainties regarding the impact of the pandemic on the industry, and they did not hire one position that was moved from Fairbanks to the Mott Sioux due to an inability to find workspace for that position. The extended vacancies negatively impacted AMPCO's ability to support the ABC board as well as the Marijuana Control Board. So on pages 16 through 18 of the audit, we summarize our detailed review of the ABC board's license process. So we found that 76% of new licenses and 85% of transfer licenses were issued within 6 months. On average, it took 153 days to issue a new license and 131 days to issue a transfer license. We found that the license requirements are complex, making the application process inherently subject to error. We also found that the process was very manual, hard copy based, and not subject to electronic edits. Our analysis of the license process identified 3 main opportunities for gaining efficiencies. First, we found that the applications, those are the applications received by AMPCO, were deemed incomplete or inaccurate at a rate of 97% or 96% of the time for new applications and 97% of the time for transfer applications. And so when they're deemed deficient, they have to be sent back to the applicant, that they have to cure the deficiency, send it back, and this added on average 20 days to the license timeline. Second, confirming an applicant's compliance with the various regulations and statutory requirements caused significant delays. Waiting for receipt of compliance information, including waiting for the local governing bodies to determine whether they're going to protest a license action, added on average 88 days to the license timeline. And that was for new applications and 35 days for transfer applications. Thirdly, we found that once all of the requirements were met, just simply issuing the license took 23 days for a new license and 28 days for a transfer license. Of course, this was automated, it could significantly reduce the timeline. So we made 5 recommendations. They begin on page 27. Recommendation 1, we recommend the DCCED commissioner ensure AMPCO vacancies are filled in a timely manner, and we recommend that AMPCO executive director develop written procedures for the licensing process. Rec 2, on page 28, the board should significantly enhance or replace its existing database and automate the application process when possible. Third recommendation on page 29, the board and AMPCO director should strengthen their procedures over entering restricted purchasers in the statewide database of written orders. And we made the same recommendation in the prior sunset audit. Our testing found that 27 individuals who had been convicted of relevant violations had not been entered into the statewide database for written orders. And that was due to insufficient procedures. Fourth recommendation you'll find on page 30. The board and AMPCO director should implement procedures to ensure municipalities receiving refunds of biennial licensing fees are actively enforcing alcoholic beverage laws. So statutes require the biennial licensing fees to be refunded to municipalities. But if the commissioner finds that the municipality is not actively enforcing the laws, they can deny the refund. So So the prior audit found that the municipalities were not submitting their quarterly reports, and those reports identify whether they're enforcing the laws. This time we found that they were submitting the quarterly reports, but no one was reviewing those reports, and the refunds were being automatically issued. And then the fifth recommendation is on page 31. The AMCO director should ensure that refunds to municipalities are appropriately reviewed. Similar to the prior sunset audit, we found one AMCO employee was responsible for both calculating the amount of the refund and approving the amount of the payment. So those duties should be segregated for good internal controls. The extended vacancies were contributed to this deficiency. Now the commissioner's response to the audit begins on page 47. The commissioner agrees with all of the recommendations. She stated that the vacancies from AMCO have been filled. She also stated that in regards to automating the license process and replacing the database, that the department was developing a needs assessment for the project. She also stated that the violators had been entered into the statewide database of written orders and procedures had been created moving forward to ensure this information got in there. And in regards to the Rec 4 to implement procedures to ensure municipalities were actively enforcing the laws, she stated that those procedures would be implemented in the future. The ABC Chair's board response is on page 49. The chair disagreed strongly with our recommendation for only a four-year extension and claims that an early sunset would jeopardize the public's trust and undermine their confidence in the public process. Although the chair agreed with all of the recommendations, he didn't believe that they were material enough to warrant a reduced extension. I did want to mention that this board has received a three- or four-year extension routinely over the last 20 years.
Great, thank you. Are there questions regarding the audit? Representative Josephson.
The chair's comments about undermining, I don't know if the word is integrity or what, does that strikes me as hyperbolic.
Representative Josephson, we do have the chair of the ABC board online,
okay.
And he is the next person to testify, so if Ms. Curtis would like to address that. Okay. Anything further regarding the audit? Thank you, Ms. Curtis. And so that will take us to Mr. Dana Walukowicz, Chair of the ABC Board. Thank you for being with us today. If you could please place yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you. Thank you, Coach.
Pardon me. I'm sorry. And I have to add at 1:42, we were joined by Representative Carpenter. Sorry about that. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Co-Chair and members of the committee. For the record, I am Dana Walukowicz, Chairman of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. I'm testifying here today in support of SB 151 as it is written, with the extension of 5 years to the termination date of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. I do understand it's difficult to simply accept the legislative auditor's recommendations, and I do appreciate Mrs. Curtis's testimony here today. The board and the Alcohol Marijuana Control Office do not dispute the findings of the audit, just the overall recommendation of the shortened term, and I'm happy to see that previous representatives have lengthened that term to 5 years, and the board is very supportive and thankful for that. The primary reason for the extension is that, as most of you are aware, that the board will be undertaking, if SB 9, which is the Title 4 rewrite, passes here shortly, that the board will be undertaking quite large and lengthy projects to update the regulations to be consistent with the legislative intent of the SB 9 and Title 4 rewrite. As Mrs. Curtis has stated in her testimony, that many of the findings and recommendations that were made during the audit were in fact corrected. There is only one major outstanding issue, which is the lack of a IT system to support the licensing process, and we at the board as well as the office is in complete support of revamping and updating that system so that for a fully automated online system, which would reduce the errors in the process and streamline that process as well. However, it is outside the board's authority to independently develop that system, as it would take capital funds, but I am happy to report that included in SB 9 is actually funds specifically for that reason, to develop an online system, something similar to what we many other departments already have, in which people could use their My Alaska account to log in and monitor and update their licensing, do renewal applications, and even apply for new licenses online, and certainly reduce a lot of that the error rate in there. So in conclusion, we're very happy to see that the board was extended to 5 years, and I'm available for any questions that may the committee members may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Walukowicz. We have a question from Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, Mr. Walukowicz. It sounds like you're relatively satisfied. Is that a fair statement?
We are happy to see that the extension was made from the auditor's extended term of 4 years to 5 years, as it currently is written in SB 151. I think that will give us plenty of time to not only digest the large project that's in front of us with SB 9, but also get the funds necessary and implement a new IT system to facilitate the licensing delays and inefficiencies that the auditor had pointed out. So, yes, overall, pretty happy.
Representative Josephson.
Well, Mr. Walukowicz, I noted your comment in response, and you know, my perception of the agency for which you chair the board is that it is always going to have some criticism and always going to have some tensions that are competing. And I apologize if my comments seemed out of hand, but your written response about an earlier sunset, and perhaps that's been resolved by moving to 5 years, jeopardizing the public's trust and undermining their confidence. Do you still hold that position?
No, through the chair. No, I do not. What I was concerned was that the 4 years is not enough time to do our work. And I know there's a lot of concern in the public and in the industry with a potential early sunset. I think you put your finger right on the pulse of the issues there, that it can be a very political and process for obtaining or issues that can be brought in front of the board can be very political in nature. And when the public and the industry has some uncertainty as whether or not the board is going to be there to address the issues, is the area of concern. And that was the area, that was the concern that the board had, as well as I did. I have been with the board for almost just over 2 years now, and have been very happy to see the amount of public process that goes into the board meetings. We routinely go 1 to 2 days every quarter. We've had emergency meetings through the pandemic to address issues. And I think the commitment of the board to hear the public and to hear the industry and make sure that we have the time and the resources to fully address that is what I was concerned about. Shortening the board's term, it would be, I would think, would potentially jeopardize the trust of the public. And so I'm happy to see that we've got 5 years. We'll always work to be to improve our processes, and hopefully in 5 years we'll be back up here in front of you. We'll have less findings, and at that point there'll be more of a consensus to extend for a longer period of time.
Thank you.
I hope that answers your question.
It does, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Walukowicz. We appreciate you being here today. Further questions? Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I have a question, I think, for Chief Auditor. She had mentioned that one of the recommendations was also a previous recommendation. And I want to make sure I understand which one that was.
Thank you. Ms. Curtis?
For the record, Chris Curtis, Legislative Auditor. Representative Carpenter through the chair. There was two recommendations that were reiterations of prior ones. That had to do with the statewide database of written orders. And next one, the refund of biannual license fees, making sure that the process of reviewing them and approving them were segregated. So those two are continuing recommendations from the prior audit. I do want to state, though, that my reduced extension recommendation doesn't have much to do with the recommendations. I really feel that there was a need to monitor the board's progress in addressing its licensing efficiencies. That was mainly what drove the four-year extension recommendation.
Anything further, Representative Carpenter?
Well, I'm just looking at the report here that states on page 5 that statutes state that a license should be suspended or revoked if the board finds the licensee failed to correct a defect that constitutes a violation after receipt of notice by the board or its enforcement agents. And yet we have two audits in a row that have the same recommendations that didn't get done, and we've got an extension from 4 to 5 years. So I'm a little concerned that even an audit every 4 years has not resulted in fixing what the previous audit found. So why would we extend that audit period, lengthen it, if that shorter period wasn't successful in correcting the findings? So it doesn't make sense to me that we would extend this from 4 to 5.
Ms. Curtis, do you have comment?
Yes, through the chair, Representative Carpenter. I do want to highlight on page 21 of the report, we do acknowledge that the board, that their enforcement activity actually increased during the audit period. So I wanted to put that on record. But I also want to put on record that at the time we did the audit, SB9 had not passed. And if it had passed, I would have recommended a four-year extension to give us time to come in and see their progress in implementing SB9. So I think, you know, legislative oversight, when a board is tasked with that many changes, is important.
Great, thank you. And next we will go back to Ms. Hoskinson, the Deputy Director of the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing, to review the fiscal note, WRQHH. Looks like OMB component number 3119. Ms. Hoskinson?
Hi, Madam Chair. I apologize. I missed this. This is for Senate Bill 186, correct?
We are on Senate Bill 151.
Oh, I apologize. I'm only on the line to speak for the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing, so I'll have to defer to the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office to speak to the fiscal note for 151.
Great. Thank you. It looks like we have Carrie Craig, Acting Director of the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office. Ms. Craig, are you available to go over this fiscal note?
To the chair. Hi, Carrie Craig, Acting Director for the AMCO office. Unfortunately, I do not have that information in front of me. I was not aware that piece of it was coming in front of us, so I apologize for that. I can get that to you shortly if you don't mind me taking a quick break to go check with my admin officer.
That's fine. We can go ahead and go over the fiscal note at the next hearing. That's no problem at all.
Okay. Okay. I apologize.
Nope. No problem. We'll listen. We'll hear from you next time. Is there further discussion on Senate Bill 151? Seeing none. Thank you for being here. We'll go ahead and set Senate Bill 151 aside. And that will take us back to Senate Bill 186, extending the Board of Examiners in Optometry. I believe we have Tim Lampkin from Senator Stevens' office with us here. Welcome back. If you could place yourself on the record and begin your presentation on Senate Bill 186.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. We want to thank you for scheduling the bill so promptly. Not much to say on this. It's just a simple, straight sunset bill. The folks that you want to be hearing from is, of course, the auditor and past and present members of the board of optometry itself. We're just here to shepherd the bill.
Great. Thank you very much. Are there questions? Seeing none, Ms. Curtis on Senate Bill 186, extending the Board of Examiners in Optometry.
For the record, Chris Curtis, Legislative Auditor. So somewhere in your meeting packets, you'll also have a sunset audit report for the Board of Examiners in Optometry. It's dated June of 2021. So this audit concluded that the board conducted its meetings in compliance with state laws, effectively licensed optometrists, and actively amended regulations to implement statutory changes and improve the license process. The audit also found that DCBPL staff failed to operate in the public's interest by not consistently ensuring that the existence of a federal DEA number was entered accurately into the statewide database, licensing database, by not ensuring the continuing education audits were conducted timely, and by not monitoring licensees' compliance with continuing education in pain management in opioid use and addiction. So we recommend the legislature extend this board 6 years, that is 2 years less than the maximum. My reduced extension recommendation reflects the need for more timely oversight in light of the audit findings and the nature of the findings. So on page 9, you'll find the standard licensing information. As of January 2021, there were 218 licensed optometrists. That reflects an 18% increase when compared to the prior 2013 sunset audit. The board's schedule of revenues you'll find on page 10. As of January 2021, the board had a deficit of approximately $52,000. The board did recommend a fee increase in April of 2020. Fees were not increased due to the directive from the governor to freeze the fees for occupational boards to help mitigate the financial impact of the pandemic. The schedule of fees is on page 11. The report makes three recommendations. They begin on page 13. First, we recommend the DCBPL director dedicate resources to ensure that licensees holding a DEA number are accurately entered into the licensing database. So this is important, like we talked about for the Board of Pharmacy, that the licensing database has accurate information so they can be used to cross-match to the controlled substance prescription database so they can monitor the requirement to register. We found DCBPL staff were provided written instructions. However, the instructions were not followed. According to DCBPL management, regular turnover in the board's licensing examiner and the licensing supervisor positions led to the deficiency. Rec 2 on page 14, the board chair and DCBPL director should change the license renewal form to allow the board to monitor compliance with continuing education requirements. There was a change in those requirements, an effective July 2018, to require licensees to obtain 2 hours of continuing education in pain management and opioid use and addiction. That's during the 2 years prior to license renewal. So auditors found the board and the DCBPL staff did not ensure the license renewal form got changed to require a licensee's report compliance with that requirement. The Rec 3 on page 15, DCBPL's director should ensure adequate resources are available to conduct continuing education audits timely. So these audits are DCBPL's main internal control to ensure the licensees are complying with continuing education requirements. And so for this board, we found it took 2.5 years to complete the continuing education audit for the Board of Optometrists. And then the management cited turnover and multiple licensing staff vacancies contributed to this finding. Management's response to the audit begins on page 25. The commissioner concurs with the conclusions and recommendations. And she states that for this board, the licensing examiner position turned over 5 times. During the 3.5 year audit period, and the licensing supervisor position turned over 4 times. And that turnover basically led to all 3 of the findings. The chair's response is on page 27. The chair responds to Rec 2 regarding the deficiencies in the license renewal form and stated that those deficiencies would be addressed before the licenses are renewed the next cycle.
Representative Josephson.
By House Bill 103 in the 30th legislature?
Through the chair, that is not something that turned up as an issue, a risk area for us to spend any resources on.
Yes, follow up?
If it had been subject of concern, would you have followed the subject matter?
Through the chair, when we're at the beginning of an audit, we're doing what we call the survey phase. We're looking for any type of complaints regarding the board. So we would have, if we would have identified any complaints, we would have developed field work procedures to follow up on those.
Thank you. And let the record reflect, at 2:04 p.m., we were joined by Representative Rasmussen. Ms. Curtis? Are you complete?
Yeah, I'm back.
Super. Okay, we are going to go to Dr. Damian Delzer, Chairman of the Board of Examiners in Optometry. Dr. Delzer, welcome to House Finance. Please place yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, co-chairs and committee. Good afternoon, and thank you for the invitation to speak on behalf of the Board of Examiners in Optometry. For the record, my name is Damian Delzer of Fairbanks, and I have been practicing in Alaska continuously for nearly 29 years. It has been my distinct privilege and honor to have recently completed 8 years of service on the Board of Examiners at Optometry, and the last three as chair. The board is charged with the mission of public protection through vetting of new applicants, assuring appropriate continuing competency of current licensees, addressing inquiries from the public, investigation of any complaints, as well as crafting and enforcing regulations to implement legislative statutory changes. The board has implemented nearly 20 regulatory changes over the past 3 years. These regulations have included such issues as continuing education requirements, including opioid education, scope of practice, military exemptions, specialty designation, modernization of law examinations, and modernization of prescription requirements, as well as emergency regulation modification during the height of the recent pandemic. I am quite happy to report that during my 8 years on the board, there were no reported PDMP violations. The board is self-funded through license fees, and board travel expenses have been minimized through exclusive use of Zoom meetings over the past 3 years. The board chair also participates in biweekly board chair meetings as well as biweekly PDMP meetings. And thank you for your consideration of the board extension.
Thank you very much, Doctor. Are there questions? Seeing none, we will go to our final testifier, Dr. Steve Dobson, past president of the Alaska Optometric Association. Pardon me. Dr. Dobson, there you are. Welcome to House Finance. If you could please place yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Good morning, or afternoon. Steve Dobson, D-O-B-S-O-N. Through the chair, members of the House Finance Committee, thank you for this opportunity to express my support of SB 186 that would extend the termination date of the Alaska Board of Examiners and Optometry to June 30th, 2028. Again, my name is Steve Dobson, lifelong Alaskan, born in Fairbanks, moved to Anchorage after the 64 earthquake and before the 67 flood. Been practicing optometry here in Alaska for the past 40 years. Had the privilege to serve on the Board of Examiners in Optometry back in the late 80s and serve as chair in the early 90s. That time serving on the board allowed me the opportunity to appreciate the importance of the board in protecting the visual welfare of Alaskans. Optometrists here in Alaska look to the board to assure new licensees as well as current licensees practitioners are qualified to meet and continue to maintain high professional standards set forth by the board. The board is continually charged with updating and implementing regulations that reflect the education, training that is provided in accredited schools and colleges of optometry. I sincerely appreciate your time and consideration extending the Alaska Board of Examiners in Optometry. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson. We appreciate you being here today. I see no questions, so we will go to, again, now to Glenn Hoskinson, the Deputy Director of Division of Corporations Business and Professional Licensing. And she's going to review fiscal note number one, control code XLRCX. Ms. Hoskinson.
Hello again, Madam Chair, members of the committee. It's Glenn Hoskinson, Deputy Director of the Division of Corporations Business and Professional Licensing. As you see with most of our board extension fiscal notes, this is the cost. We have a cost to sit here to operate the board. This is not to operate the actual licensing program, but just the board itself. So you'll see 15.2 annually in travel expenses. That is for the 7 board members and 1 staff member to attend 4 board meetings per year. And then you'll see the services costs, which cover the public notices for board meetings, the training and conference fees, and stipends for board members attending board meetings in their community of residence.
Great. Thank you very much. Are there questions on the fiscal note? Seeing none. Anything further on Senate Bill 186? Seeing none, thank you to the guests for being here today. We appreciate it. This concludes our agenda for this afternoon. I will remind members that our amendment deadline set for these 3 bills is Thursday, May 5th at 1 p.m. Again, Thursday, May 5th at 1 p.m. Our next meeting is tomorrow morning at 9. We will consider House Bill 413, Facilities Constituting a School, House Bill 358, Renewable Energy Grant Fund, and Senate Bill 201, Use of Internet for Charitable Gaming. And with that, at 2:12, we are adjourned. Thank you.